Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, today we are invited to contemplate deeply the mystery of the Holy Trinity. And this is the one dogma that has existed in actuality for all eternity. And it's a hard concept for us to understand, this word eternity, which means the absence of time. It's a continuous state of existence that knows no past or future, but only an everlasting present. We're not going to be able to comprehend that. Nor could we ever comprehend how there are three persons and yet only one God. So we contemplate, we ponder deeply, we pray, and we adore this eternal mystery. From all eternity, the Father begot the Son. There was no beginning, it always was, and it always will be, and is going on right now. And then the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. There was never a beginning to that. It always was and always will be, and it's going on right now. And even in heaven, I don't think even then we can grasp the fullness of this dogma, of this mystery. We will behold it. Since we will see, if we persevere in God's grace, of course, we will see it, see Him face to face. We will see the Father face to face, the Son face to face. And of course, His sacred humanity will be there. That's united to Him forever. And we will see the Holy Ghost face to face. Contemplate that, adore, praise, bless the Holy Trinity. How sad that many reject this dogma. Unfortunately, Judaism rejects it. They believe that there's only one person in God. Even though in the Old Testament there were many allusions, if not explicit or direct references to the Holy Trinity, what does it say? Let us make man. The plurality of persons was at the very least hinted at in the Old Testament. Sad to say, Judaism rejects the Trinity. Islam rejects the Trinity. All the other non-Protestant religions reject the Trinity. And yet, that has been revealed by God. Jesus could not have made it more clear. And one of His most clear references was just before He ascends into heaven. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Notice singular, the name, not names. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. When I contemplate the Holy Trinity, I also see this wonderful sense of order that is there. Of course, in God, everything that He is and everything He does is in the right order. And He's imprinted that order onto His creation. When you study the biological world or the physical world or the astronomical world, however you want to look at it, you see this stunning. And at least one of the adjectives we should use, absolutely stunning order in God's creation. How everything works together in a most marvelous way. Yes, God also put in his physical law of creation the fact that there would be disasters. Yes, we know that, but that's also part of the overall plan, how this whole universe is supposed to function. And we as human creatures have seen that when we disturb this order in God's creation, things go out of whack. Then there's problems and difficulties. I'm thinking, for example, you know, sometimes in some situations, a certain type of predator animal was removed from a particular locale. And then all these other infestations and problems happen because we disturbed the order. So God has impressed this order onto his irrational creation. As the saints would say, animals and plants always glorify God just by being who they are, just doing their animal thing or doing their plant thing. They're participating, expressing this order that God has put into this tiny, actually very tiny planet called Earth, tiny in when you compare it to the much greater stars and planets that are out there. I remember one estimate of how long would it take to get to the edge of the known universe if you could travel at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second. You know how long it would take? It would take 14 billion years traveling at that speed. I mean, we can't even grasp such huge numbers. And since then, it's actually become more because the universe is always expanding. So there's this magnificent order. The planets and stars aren't running into each other. It all is in harmony. The order is there. Now on to his rational creation. God expects them to make the right decisions in order to show order, to function properly, you might say. And so as we know, God created the angels before he created mankind. And after he created the angels, he put them to a test. We don't know what it was, but it was in some way they would have to submit to him, to his ordered plan. And for the first time, there was disorder. Why? Because Lucifer and the rebellious angels said, "We will not serve." That was the first chaos ever to happen. The first disorder ever to happen. The first lack of peace to ever happen. Instead of submitting to this order, and again, in the physical creation, there's this marvelous hierarchy and synergy and interdependence, how everything works together. But if we take that idea and apply it to the devils, they were saying, we don't want to be part of this hierarchy, of this ordered system. We want to be our own gods. And hence, that famous phrase ever associated with Satan. We say we consider the highest of the angels, now become bad angels, Lucifer, and all the rebellious angels, we hear them saying, "I will not serve." And God commanded Saint Michael, there he is, so wonderfully represented with his sword and shield. His very name says, who is like unto God? Michael. Now, God, obviously, can do all things. He could have thrown Lucifer and all of the rebellious angels into hell. But God works in his marvelously ordered system. He works through secondary causes. So he tells Saint Michael, you lead the battle. Your very name means, who dare not submit to God's order? Who is like unto God? Michael. And the Apocalypse tells us there was this battle, and I'm sure it was greater than any war, nuclear blast, or anything that could happen on earth. It was far bigger than that. These are angelic spirits, each one who has powers that I think we couldn't even comprehend. So talk about a battle. And Michael and the good angels prevailed, and they cast out the demons. So in heaven, there is perfect order. In hell, there is disorder. When we look at the human condition here below, we realize that whenever there is chaos, it's always because of a refusal to submit to God's plan. That's what we're witnessing right now in our society, aren't we? Chaos, riots. There's a real effort to have a revolution, to try to precipitate a revolution going on, causing instability. This is the work of the devil, and of course, it's the work of fallen human nature. It is, again, people saying, we will not submit, we will not serve, we will not observe the order that God wants there to be. I'm reminded of St. Thomas's definition of peace. He calls it the tranquility of order. Isn't that a beautiful definition? The tranquility of order, when everything is in its proper function, things are humming along beautifully. I mean, think of a car. What happens, you know, when something in the car engine is amiss? And many things can go amiss because the car engine is so complex. It doesn't drive very well. You're having problems, you know, it functioning. But when it's all working together, it's smooth driving and, you know, smooth functioning. So I guess that's a very remote analogy to the order that should be there in society. I mean, think of it in the body. What happens when you have parts of the body that no longer function or functioning badly? The whole body gets sick, can even die. That's what happens when people die. Some parts of the body are essential, essential parts are no longer able to function. So what do we do? Well, certainly we have to seek for order in our own lives. And think of this. Remember, every sin is a departure from order, the order that should be there. That's why sin is bad. We break a law of God, and the laws of God keep this beautiful order in our lives and in the lives of people around us. So pleasing God in our daily lives is how we aim for a better order in our own lives. And as families, we want to have order in our family lives. And again, this is where prayer is so important. The family that prays together, stays together, you know, all the graces that come to the family to help them have more order, better order and peace and productivity in their lives. There isn't much we can do. Well, actually, I should rephrase that. You know what really is going to help bring about order? The Holy Rosary. May I remind you of what happened in Austria and Brazil. In Austria in the late 40s or 50s, when it had a very real possibility of falling into communist hands. Also Brazil in the early 60s, and enough people prayed the rosary, organized rosary processions, and neither of those two countries fell to communism. So a direct proof of how powerful that thing is that Our Lady gave to us at Fatima, pray the rosary for world peace. Don't be afraid of the thugs. We've got these people running around trying to cause discord and disarray. And fortunately, the number of good and decent people far outweighs these troublemakers. Be on your guard. Be watchful. Maintain good networks. I think God expects us to do what we can practically do. But above all, remember the spiritual solutions, the spiritual power of prayer, and the power of the Holy Rosary. We are laying to rest this Tuesday one of the most incredible witnesses to the Holy Rosary that we have ever seen in our lives. Brother Joseph, that rosary was in his hand. I wouldn't say constantly, but he would have liked it to have been constantly in his hand. And we will know in eternity, at least more than we do now, how much good was brought about through the Holy Rosary. So on this Feast of the Holy Trinity, let us most ardently worship Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let us remember we have our Blessed Mother, her and her rosary. Remember, she has the most special relationship with the Holy Trinity. She is the most pleasing daughter of the Father. She is the most admirable mother of the Son. And we even, by analogy, can say she's the spouse of the Holy Ghost. So with a greater devotion to Mary, we will most definitely have a greater devotion to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost that she loves so much and will bring us to them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.